Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast, a part of this here Lakers Lounge Podcast Network. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Today in the show, we're going to be talking about Luka. I went ahead and recorded a few of these player previews for while I am on vacation. So this is going to be one of them. Going to record an Austin Reeves one, going to record a Walker Kessler one. And then I'm going to kind of decide from there which other previews are worth kind of spending a little bit more time on, as well as deciding which previews I would like to bring a guest on for. This one, like I said, it's going to be Luka Doncic. It is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $150 worth of Prize Picks lineups. Whenever you sign up, use the promo code and win your first lineup. Also, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show as well as notifications for YouTube. And then if you guys are listening to this via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but they are all perfectly fine with me. All right. So we're going to talk about Luka Doncic, why everything is riding on him, why he's my MVP pick this season, what he'll need to do defensively to also to further that MVP case. I want to kind of spend a little bit of time on what the Lakers are going to do as far as Luka ball versus a balanced offense. And then the other overriding story going into this upcoming season is going to be his intentions on signing an extension in the not so distant future. So plenty of stuff to get to here as we talk about the man that the Lakers were built around, Luka Doncic. So it pretty much goes without saying, but it's worth saying it anyway. If Luka Doncic doesn't have multiple MVP caliber seasons, not saying he wins them because we know how the voters feel about the Lakers, but if Luka doesn't rip off four or five incredible seasons here, the Lakers' chances of winning a championship are just moot. They are non-existent. The Lakers told LeBron James to go away, or there was some combination of LeBron getting sick enough of the Lakers to walk away. Regardless, the Lakers basically said, nope, this is the Luka Doncic era, and we believe in this guy, and we believe in what he can do with the basketball in his hands on a more frequent basis without the concerns of having to balance Luka having the ball with LeBron having the ball. Now, they're still going to have to balance that with Luka having the ball and having the ball, but that's very different, right? Austin having the ball as a secondary creator is very different from one of the greatest creators of all time in LeBron James standing over there in the corner, wondering when it'll be his time to dribble. And so for Luka, pressure's on. And this is pressure that I don't think he'll have ever felt before. Now he felt some obviously in Dallas. Obviously everything was riding on him there in Dallas, but the amount of attention paid to Luka as a Laker, and especially in this post-LeBron era, given the way that things ended with LeBron, that is a completely different animal altogether. So as far as what is expected of Luka, it is, you know, he's entering his year 28 season. I think I have that right. Yes, I do. Yeah, he'll be 28 for most of the season. But yeah, he turns 28 in February. But anyway, as far as like what is expected of Luka, he's entering his prime, and the expectation is some of the best basketball that we'll ever see. And by the way, we can have those kinds of expectations of Luka because we've seen him already. Before he got hurt, right at the tail end of the season, he was playing some of the best basketball in the world. He was playing some of the best basketball, honestly, that I've ever seen. He was absolutely incredible in terms of creating his own shot, creating other players' shots. I thought the Lakers had kind of found their stride defensively, and he was a part of that too. That's the caliber of basketball that the Lakers are going to need year in, year out from this guy. Maybe not to such that incredible extent. And there are obviously, you know, it is one of those things that the Lakers are going to have to put him in the right spots and make it so that they're putting his teammates in the right spot so that he can help get the most out of those teammates that the Lakers can hope to get. But end of the day, like, this is the kind of expectations that all-time great players step into, and he is absolutely an all-time great player. So is it necessarily fair for me to say, yeah, Luka, go out there and be the best basketball player I've ever seen? Not necessarily, but that's how the Lakers were built. And if they want to win championships, especially in the era of Wemby, in this era with the Oklahoma City Thunder, in this era where Wemby and the Oklahoma City Thunder weren't able to topple the New York Knicks, who are bringing back most of that roster again next season, in this era where he's going to have to compete against LeBron James potentially in the finals if Philly is able to stay healthy. What is expected of players, great, great, great players, in if they're going to win championships or if their teams are going to win championships, is those guys have to be beyond reproach on a basketball court. And that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, like, I'm not expecting Luka to shoot 80% from the field or anything astronomical like that. But frankly, like, my expectations here, your expectations here of Luka don't really matter. If the Lakers want to win a championship, Luka has to be damn near, if not the actual best basketball player in the world. If not, then the pressure falls to Austin, and it falls to Kessler, and it falls to Grimes, and it falls to the rest of this roster to pick up the slack and help the Lakers win that championship with Luka playing at a top five level or at a top 10 level. And by the way, if Luka dips into that top 10 level, then it's just not happening. It just is not happening for the Lakers that season. So how will he get there? First and foremost, you know, and as far as how he's going to get there or what it's going to look like is he's going to have to go into the season and he's going to have to remain in that inner circle conversation for MVP. And again, we know the stats on the Lakers' chances of winning any of these end of season awards. So whether or not he wins it is kind of besides the point, because I think a lot of the voters have kind of made up their minds on some of these things before the season even starts. But if the Lakers are going to be one of those inner circle title contenders, maybe not next season, but certainly over the course of Luka's prime, Luka, in those seasons that the Lakers want to be those inner circle contenders, he's going to have to be a dominating force in the conversation for MVP. So that means all of the stuff that we understand that Luka is capable of offensively, but also it means not having so many extremely loud, poor defensive moments. And it also, by the way, as far as his MVP season goes, it's also going to have to feature a lot less yelling at the referees. I understand that that is something that he does to unleash some of his competitive fire, some of that extra energy that he has in basketball games. But we saw something really interesting when he was up against suspension last season. I thought he played some of his best basketball of the year when he could not pick up technical fouls. And he spent a lot less time yelling and bitching and moaning at the referees. Like, it was a very different Luka Doncic. And I know his fans are going to be up in arms about me bringing this up or whatever, but it is a part of his kind of league-wide image and his brand, is that on every play, this guy is going to turn around and say something to the referee, whether he makes a shot or especially if he misses a shot, he's going to say something. And I do think that that can sometimes get in the way of his effort or engagement level in a basketball game. It's a distraction. I remember when I was a kid, I used to pitch in baseball, and I was a pretty good little pitcher. I was left-handed and I threw a good curveball. But I didn't throw very hard. And I remember my dad would say, after some of the games that I would pitch in, he would say, you know, you were pitching really well until I saw you kind of messing around with the mound, the dirt on the mound. And now all of a sudden it becomes this distraction and you become even a little bit focused on that. And it just messed with your game. And I think there's something to it. I think that, you know, ask any golfer, right? The moment that you think of the type of shot you don't want to hit, guess what type of shot you're probably going to hit? That mental part of sports can't be overlooked. And I think oftentimes with Luka, when he gets too involved with the referees, it does take over some of the mental aspects of his game. And look, maybe it's confirmation bias, because I don't particularly like watching him bitch and moan and whine to the referees, but I watched him play some of his best basketball as a Laker last year when he couldn't pick up that final technical that eventually did cost him a suspension. And eventually, you know, he got that tech and you know, we saw how that played out. But what I would like to see here with Luka this upcoming season, from in regards to his MVP candidacy, is to not be up against suspension, to not be on pace to be eventually or be concerned about getting suspended. And if that is something that happens next season, I like his chances for MVP. I like his chances for MVP regardless, because he's going to have the ball as much as he's going to have it. And the Lakers have so much riding on Luka Doncic playing MVP caliber basketball. I also like his chances for MVP because I think he's that talented a basketball player. When Luka has it going, there are just very few forces in the NBA that feel as inevitable as one of those Luka tidal waves. And the more of those that we get, the better I like the Lakers' chances at accomplishing their goals, at least in the regular season. Now, if the Lakers want to do something productive or have a productive playoffs, Luka's going to have to really step it up defensively. The Lakers really kind of doubled and tripled down on the offensive makeup of this team. Now, later in the offseason, they did add guys like Matisse Thybulle and Zaire Williams, and they do have, you know, some guys that, you know, Walker Kessler is obviously the linchpin to their defense as well. But the Lakers basically said, all right, we need to make offense as easy as we possibly can make it on Luka, on Austin Reeves. So they provided Grimes to help space the floor. Not necessarily known as a defender, not an incapable defender, but certainly more of an offensive-leaning basketball player. They also signed Mamu, right, who Look, he is a floor spacing big, and typically floor spacing bigs aren't known for what they bring to the table defensively. Now, we'll see what the Lakers wind up doing from the small forward standpoint. We'll see if eventually they do wind up with Jonathan Kuminga. And if they do, then that would certainly help a little bit with their defense. But overall, like, this roster is not one where Luka and Austin, for that matter, can just coast defensively and can be defensive liabilities. They're going to have to defend. They're going to have to take up space. One thing I do like about Luka is that he is so big that it's a little easier to hide him than it would be for like a guard, right? That really kind of helps. But the type of defense that I want to see Luka play, and he always does have pretty good steal numbers, but the kind of defense that I would like to see Luka play, because he is so smart and because he has such a great understanding of basketball from an offensive standpoint, just stand in spots. Spend as much time in spots that you know offenses have to operate through. The elbows, the paint, you know, the pinch posts, passing lanes that you know, you start to notice teams throw a lot of those passes. Go stand over there in one of those passing lanes. Be an effective rebounder. Box out, you know, do stuff like that. And then, you know, when the Lakers do get a rebound, go get that ball as quickly as you possibly can. Or ideally, Luka, you grab the rebound and throw those hit ahead passes that allow the Lakers to get out and run a little bit, to make life a little bit easier on you offensively, right? If the Lakers don't get enough stops to get out and run frequently enough, I'm a little nervous that you're asking a little too much of Austin and of Luka in the half court. Last year, I really liked the Lakers' chances in the half court, especially once they had kind of figured out the whole Luka, Austin, LeBron dynamic. And I thought that, like, late in games, they were kind of overwhelming offensively because of all of the entry points into the offense that Luka and Austin and LeBron could open up. This year, it's when you take LeBron out of that equation, it does fall even more on Luka and Austin. So I think it's really important that those guys defend well enough so that the Lakers can get out and run frequently enough so that they aren't asked to do quite as much in the half court as they did last season. So, look, we can talk about the regular season MVPs, and we could talk about his candidacy for those awards. His defense will also obviously impact that candidacy. But if the Lakers want to do anything whatsoever in the playoffs, it's going to involve Luka and Austin defending at above average levels. Not elite, obviously, not even good, but don't be bad. Don't be, you know, like, I actually think those guys are very capable of, like, average should be the floor for them. Above average is all I'm asking. Like, I'm not asking you guys to go out there and be Tony Allen, be Draymond Green, be Anthony Davis, be Scottie Pippen. No, I just want you guys to be at your worst average, and at your best above average. Just kind of, you know, cruise along at that speed defensively.